the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Hurley, Gary McNamara, and welcome to Ask the Law for Monday, September 13, 2010. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here. Woohoo! It's all brought to you by Old Blue USA. All the information that you get, answers to questions are up to date as of today, can change without notice. And remember, drivers, you can always go to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org, and submit your CMV questions anytime. By the way, statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only, even if we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys or not. Gary! How are you?
Good. Well, I see that what happened was the Buffalo Bills played two games yesterday. They played their game, then they put on the Dallas Cowboys uniform.
They put on the Cowboys uniform.
They traveled to Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
And they played two games, and they played them exactly the same.
Yes. What's interesting is that, if I recall correctly, the Bills scored more points in their game than the Cowboys scored. Oh, no, wait. No, the Cowboys actually scored more points. They did, even though it fell under a different column, because the Cowboys scored points for the other team, being the Washington Redskins. Yeah. No, didn't the Bills score 10 points in their game? 15-10, wasn't that the final?
Yeah, the one was basically at the near the end of the game, but
yeah.
No, they didn't have 100 yards offense.
Yeah.
55 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
So they was three and out.
Yeah.
Well. But I'm not surprised. I mean, their quarterback's horrendous. They should have got rid of him already, and they're giving him a third year to try to still be the same terrible quarterback.
Yeah. We are talking about the Cowboys, right?
No, we are talking about... No,
I get confused.
Believe me, I would take Romo in a second.
Did you know that Romo... They showed this stat tonight. Romo has the fourth highest all-time record for yards per pass. I had no idea. All-time.
Romo, I think, had 262 yards passing. That the Bills will have that at the end of their first month.
Wow.
Maybe in passing.
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
Trooper Dial's here to break it all up and
let's get on with the show. Get to something else.
Trooper Dial, how are you?
By the way, did you see that New York Times story?
Which one?
The tape they have of the police, the New York police setting quotas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just thought.
Yeah, well, we won't be taking any questions about that tonight at all. 800-288-9227.
That's the New York City Police.
Yes, that's the New York City Police. Welcome, Trooper Dial. How are you? As we quickly move on.
I am, to ask the law.
I am doing great.
All right. Every time you come in, it's always great because we always have a plethora of questions for you. By the way, drivers, you got a question about CSA 2010? This is the time to get in. 800-288-9227. We can't answer questions about the Dallas Cowboys, Buffalo Bills, or the New York State Police. 800-288-9227. If you have a question about CSA 2010, we will take your questions right now. Ready? Go.
New York City Police.
Was it New York City?
I thought
you said state. Okay. Well, we make that correction. And I think that's probably a bigger police force, actually, New York City Police.
It might be.
I'd have to look at that roster and see. I'm really curious about that. All right, CSA 2010, just the facts. Now, this story came out, not this story, but this new just the facts came out recently. They put up this kind of bullet point posting at their website, at the FMCSA website for CSA 2010. The first item right off the bat was one that just kind of opened my eyes a little bit because I didn't think of it this way. And here's what we'll start with. We'll start with a true or false scenario. You'll answer because I know that you already know the answer. Carriers will not inherit any of a newly hired driver's past violations. Again, carriers will not inherit any of a newly hired driver's past violations. Now, we're not talking about newbies. I'm talking about anybody that's new to that company. True or false?
True.
That is true.
True.
That is true.
Yes.
All right. The problem is, well, I guess not the problem, but the situation is, to answer the question, because my question came up, and I'm throwing around the scenarios in my tiny little brain over the last week or so, And I'm thinking to myself, okay, does this change the hiring situation? Effectively, because essentially what has changed as of CSA 2010, and that is the carriers will accumulate those points of their drivers as a carrier. It doesn't change that, even if you don't, as a carrier, inherit this newly hired driver's past violations. That doesn't matter, because if the violations are there, that establishes a pattern.
Yes, it'll establish a pattern. And you and I were talking earlier, and for some reason, if the motor carrier decided that, Mr. Truck Driver, you are becoming a liability to us,
right,
so we're going to terminate you.
Right.
And that driver goes down the street and goes to work for another company. He basically starts out as a newbie.
Yes.
With that motor carrier.
Right.
And what he has done in the past will stay with his previous employer for 2 years before that data is wiped off of the motor carrier's information.
Okay. And I mean, I guess we could see some situations, right, where they go through an interview and then, you know, a carrier, this would probably be rare, where a carrier looks at him and says, okay, well, you know, it looks like you had a bad day or a bad year or whatever, and we're willing to give you a shot. But, you know, that's the whole point of CSA 2010. The whole point of CSA 2010, and we got into a discussion recently about CSA 2010, and one driver called and said, well, I believe that the whole thing is designed to target small independent owner operators and the owner operator in general, the driver. And I came back and I said, well, that's really not the case. If you look at it as it's split up into peer groups, and if you look at the design of it, it's really designed to weed out those who aren't playing by the rules.
That's the whole purpose. Under the current system, and when I mean the current system, we're talking about the compliance review.
Right.
FMCSA updates the data every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So you could theoretically have a motor carrier that could go through and have a string of bad inspections, and it take FMCSA anywhere from 6 months to a year to ever catch up with that motor carrier. Under CSA 2010, that 6 months to a year is now down to every 30 days.
Okay.
So every 30 days, FMCSA downloads the data from all roadside inspections, and it goes in there, and FMCSA will assign a ranking to a motor carrier based upon the data that came off of the roadside inspections into your peer group,
yeah,
based upon how many trucks you have.
Okay. Now, we do know that the carriers now do have access,
yes,
to their records.
Yes.
Okay. Do they, and this, I think I know the question, or the answer to this question, but do they have they also have the access to the single drivers?
Yes.
Okay. So each individual driver is also listed there?
Yes.
All right. They are listed there by, I don't know, their driver's license, their name?
Most of them have it set up based upon the driver's license number,
okay,
the state,
yeah,
and their name.
Okay. All right. And then, so beyond that, they can see what you have been doing under while you were operating under any other carrier.
Yes.
And so, all right, here's the second item on CSA 2010, just the facts. All inspections and crashes that a commercial motor vehicle driver receives while under the authority of a carrier will remain part of the carrier's safety measurement system data for 2 years unless overturned through the data queue system, even if the carrier terminates that driver. That's something we already knew.
Yes.
And explain the data queue system, because I guess part of the concern is that drivers believe that they don't have any kind of recourse here if something comes up and they want to challenge that. What can they do?
Well, here's one of the things that I have always told drivers. First off, you need to either get a computer where you can access the internet,
mm-hmm.
or you go get a copy of the management edition that contains the interpretations. The little pocketbook that every motor carrier gives you when you sign on with the carrier does not have the interpretations. Anytime FMCSA receives a request for an interpretation, they will do research and determine whether or not a prior interpretation had been issued for that question.
Hmm.
And if not, then they will sit down and will write a guidance. And a lot of times you will find situations where a trooper or law enforcement will take and go out and will issue a violation during a roadside inspection. The only way that you can effectively challenge that is, one, read the regulations,
mm-hmm.
two, see if there are any interpretation guidance issued,
right,
for that particular violation. If you feel that the violation is incorrect or there is an interpretation that gives specific guidance on a violation, then you get with your motor carrier, and your motor carrier will do what's called a data queue.
Right.
And you go back and reference the inspection number and the particular violation, and then you explain your reasoning for challenging the violation.
Yeah.
Now, if you are a one-truck operator, you are the owner of the truck and you are operating under your authority, then you would be the one that would do the data queue.
Okay.
And you actually have to go on to FMCSA's website and get a PIN number and all of this so you can sign in. And once all this is done, then you submit your data queue. It is sent back to the state that issued the violation. It will eventually work its way back down to the trooper, their supervisor. They will review it, and if the trooper got up on the wrong side of the bed that day and realized he made a mistake, then they will correct it.
Okay. All right. Coming back, we'll talk about what shows up right now on the new safety measurement system. We've talked about this before, but again, this is a learning process that I think a lot of drivers still don't know the answers to. That's why we do Ask the Law every single month, and we're back to Ask the Law in just a moment
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network, and it is Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, September 13th, 2010. All the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today, can change without notice. We want to remind you that comments made by anyone other than senior trooper Monty Dial are considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org to get your CMV questions answered anytime. All right. Got about 2 minutes here. Let's go on to the next one. And this is the next item on CSA 2010, Just the Facts. Again, some bullet points that the FMCSA put out on CSA 2010. Similar to today's SafeStat, tickets or warnings that commercial motor vehicle drivers receive while operating their personal vehicles do not count in the new safety measurement system. So that was a big question. If I get a ticket on the weekend, is this going to count?
And that's true.
Okay. And that is, now the question is, and we have been told that the items that come up during an inspection or during a crash scene, I guess, investigation,
mm-hmm.
are going to show up on the new safety measurement system, What if it's just a ticket and there is no inspection?
It will not show up.
It will not show up.
There has to be a level one, a level two, a level three, a level four, or a level six inspection for the violation to show up.
Okay, is it likely, though, that if you're stopped for another primary offense, that at least a level six or something would be done? Is that typical?
It depends. Mm-hmm. It depends. There are a lot of states that require a primary violation to occur
right
before they stop a commercial vehicle.
Right.
In Texas, if you're operating a commercial motor vehicle, we have the right to pull you over and do an inspection.
Okay, keep it right there. We're going to come back with more of the Just the Facts items. By the way, we put a link to the story that E-Trucker had on this, and inside that story, you'll see a link that goes to the CSA 2010 Just the Facts. And if you want to get on board, you can do that right now at 800-288-9227.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. The Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Good morning. Welcome. Your questions are welcome at 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
We do know that there are a lot of questions on CSA 2010. If you have one for Trooper Dial or an Hours of Service question, we've been known to take those every once in a while here on this program. Please get it to us, and we want to remind you that this is Ask the Law for Monday, September 13th, as I begin my countdown to vacation. I'm actually not going to do much. I'm just going to be hanging around the house. But it is my countdown to vacation, and we are here as a public service of Old Blue USA. I want to thank R.J. Taylor and the folks over there at Old Blue USA. And with us, retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. The information and answers to questions are up to date at this time. They can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only, and go to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org, anytime and submit your CMV questions. What you want to do is, when you get there, click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. You have a question about CSA 2010, you'll have to wait because I have way too many and you're going to get behind me. So here we go. All right. If a carrier or a commercial, we're going over these facts, the CSA 2010 Just the Facts, which is a bullet point, essentially publication that they put out on their website at the FMCSA's website for CSA 2010 recently. And we're going over some of these items. One of them was the first item that was kind of a surprise, but actually it does make sense. Does not really change the game. Doesn't change the nature of which drivers are hired. Carriers will not inherit any of a newly hired driver's past violations. In other words, that won't count against your, if you get hired on to a new carrier, which is the way it should be because you weren't operating under that carrier, your violations aren't going to count against their record. So you should know that. But it doesn't mean they're going to hire you. If you have some items on your record, your violations will come with you because they'll look at that and realize that at some point, as a pattern based on your history, you will probably have some more violations in the future, which will, if they hire you, count against their record. All right, if a carrier or a commercial motor vehicle driver finds any violations in his or her crash or roadside inspection reports that are not listed in the SMS, the Safety Measurement System Methodology Severity Tables, then they do not count towards the carrier's or driver's SMS data. All right, let's go over that again. If a carrier or commercial motor vehicle driver finds any violations in his or her crash or roadside inspection reports that are not listed in the SMS methodology severity tables, then they do not count towards the carrier's or driver's SMS data. That's true.
In other words, if you got stopped and either was issued a citation or a warning,
right,
and it was not accompanied by a roadside inspection, the data's not there.
Okay. That's it. Just simply isn't going to be reported.
It's not going to be reported.
All right. 800-288-9227. We'll get back to this list in a moment. Let's get to the phones right now.
Let's talk to Jason in Greenville, South Carolina. Jason, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Quick question. I was in Portales, New Mexico a couple months ago, and I was bobtail under my personal capacity. I am owner-operator running under my own authority, and my record's clear except for what happened there. Pulled up in the McDonald's and blocked the handicap parking, came out with burger in hand, and DOT was behind the truck when I came out. He gave me a ticket for blocking a handicap space, and I was just wondering what that will do to my safety record under CSA 2010.
Did he report that on a roadside inspection?
He said something about he did an inspection to the driver, not to the truck.
Level 3 inspection?
I believe that's what he called it.
If he did, then it shows up as a violation on CSA 2010.
Well, that's not good news, but it's an answer. That's what I was looking for. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Blocking a handicap space, do we have any idea how many points that would be?
Not really.
Yeah,
It's all going to be a matter of how New Mexico reports it to his home state.
Right. Okay. And that was my question. And it's going to vary from state to state and maybe even from, you know, officer to officer. I don't know. You tell me. We talked about this earlier in the break. All right. So Jason is there. They do a level 3 driver inspection.
Correct.
That is looking at his logbooks?
Looking at his logbooks, verifying his driver's license, medical card, and pretty much it.
Okay, but if you're in a situation, let's say you get pulled over for speeding, they're likely going to do a driver inspection, are they not? I mean, is it...
It's all going to depend on who pulls you over.
Right.
As an example, and I'll use Texas because I'm familiar with how Texas is.
Right.
In Texas, we have the Highway Patrol division.
Right.
Within the division, we have two entities. We have the Highway Patrol and we have Commercial Vehicle Enforcement. Not all of the Highway Patrol are trained in roadside inspection. All Commercial Vehicle Enforcement troopers are trained in roadside inspections. So if you have a Highway Patrol trooper that stops you and just writes you a speeding citation,
right,
and you go on down the road, that is not going to have an impact on the carrier and the driver SMS.
Or if a sheriff's office or
correct.
Somebody had been in Jason's situation there,
correct.
They may have just written him the citation for blocking that space, and then he could have moved on without anything.
Correct. Now, on the other hand, if a commercial vehicle enforcement trooper stops you and writes you a speeding citation and does a level 3, then that will count on the motor carrier and the driver SMS.
Right. Okay, 800-288-9227. Wow, if you've been in some situations and you wonder, like Jason, if that's going to show up on your CSA 2010, this is the time to ask on Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. If you have any other questions about CSA 2010 or any other regulatory item, we'll be glad to help. And by we, I mean Trooper Dial. Don't ask me because I don't know. All right, we'll move on to the next item on Just the Facts in just a moment. Stand by. We'll talk about one of the items that was recently fixed, if you will. It was kind of a loophole or a concern that the ATA and other groups had about the way that some carriers could manipulate their score by maybe adding some trucks or something else. So we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. It is Ask the Law. You can get on board right now
at 800-288-9227. It It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
And we want to remind you that all the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today. September 13th, 2010 can change without notice. Any statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website. 800-288-9227. Let's get to the phones.
And let's head to a beautiful stretch of road. And we go to Jason on 84 in Oregon. Jason, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, my question is, I was pulling some rock treasures down the road, and one of my doors didn't get closed all the way. I was losing some rock and damaged a couple of vehicles behind me. There was no police report filed, but it did go through insurance. I was just wondering if it was going to show up on my DAC record.
No.
No.
Okay, because you and I were just talking about this during the break. They've removed some items on load, securement, and weight. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the thing on this, because there was not a roadside inspection conducted, so the data does not show up, nor were you involved in a crash, a DOT recordable crash, so that's not going to show up.
Awesome.
Wow. Good for you, Jason.
Thank you guys very much.
Well, thank you. Congratulations. Go get some coffee and celebrate. 800-288-9227. We'll see if we can get another one before the break.
Let's go to Tom in Golden, Colorado. Tom, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. I sure appreciate your show, and this particular segment's always interesting to me.
Thank you.
I've got a Class A CDL from Texas. Have not been driving big trucks lately, but I drive a Dodge Ram Mega Cab as my personal vehicle. Last big truck citation was in 2005 in South Carolina. That was a righteous citation for speed. No problem with that. But on the west side of Denver, you have Jefferson County and three municipalities that all aggressively work traffic enforcement. And I've gotten three citations in the last month, all from different jurisdictions, all which I think have real legitimate issues that prompt me to defend against the citation. But what I'm wondering, I've been told in times past that even citations in a personal vehicle still show up on a DAC. I'm wondering, is that true? Or since these were in a personal vehicle, not a big truck with no DOT inspection, is that different now and they won't apply on the DAC?
Well, first off, the DAC and CSA 2010 are two entirely separate entities. DAC is a reporting system that a motor carrier puts on without any justification. And there is no way that a driver can refute any information that is put on there.
And if those are on your personal vehicle, then there would be no one to put those on a DAC report.
Correct.
So that's not an issue.
Right.
Now, does this fall under the item that we brought up earlier under just the facts that that similar to today's SafeStat tickets or warnings that commercial motor vehicle drivers receive while operating their personal vehicles do not count in the new SMS?
That's correct. In these situations right here, the three citations that you received, if they were in your personal vehicle, they will not count under CSA 2010.
Well, I can't tell you what a relief that is, because one of the citations was for 50 and a 35, but the speed limit sign that was reduced the speed from 50 to 35 was missing. So I'm fairly confident I'll get that one dismissed.
Right.
The other two don't have as big or obvious flaws, but you know, these jurisdictions, in my opinion, are not working these areas for safety. These citations don't have anything to do with safety violations. There's not anybody else around. It's all about revenue, and I find myself, you know, my brother is actually career law enforcement. And I find myself starting to really resent seeing a patrol car or a motorcycle officer.
Yeah.
Because I'm losing the confidence that they're out there to protect and to serve, because they're generating enormous money for these jurisdictions.
Well, so, and remember, and we thank you for the calls and the comments. Just keep in mind who's in charge and who sets the directives in that case, outside of New York City. And again, you know, we just also want to remind you that it's Ask the Law, not Debate the Law, 800-288-9227. We feel your pain, and there is a time for that, but this program we want to dedicate and save for the questions primarily
one,
on that.
One thing I was going
to
throw
hold that thought. We'll get to it right here at the top of the hour news.
On the Midnight Radio Network.